hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. We're glad you're here on this Good Shepherd Sunday. I want to talk to you this morning from Psalm 23. Big idea. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me. He guides me. He protects me. He loves me. He knows me. He guides me. He protects me. He loves me. The context for Psalm 23 is 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 19. David's son Absalom is in the process of overthrowing his father from the throne, taking the kingdom over, and David is on the run, and he really is going through the valley of the shadow of death while his son is trying to have him killed. Very well known. If John 3:16 is the most known verse in Scripture, Psalm 23 is the most known chapter in Scripture. When Kathy came to faith through Mary Beth Alfelt back in 1979 in Monterey, California, she laid in bed that night and said Psalm 23 because that's the only Scripture she'd ever memorized. And from the top of her head to her feet, she felt warmth. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The, not a, not some, the Lord. Lord. Not a figment of my imagination, not something I made up, not something I read about, not something someone told me. This is the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, who took human form, came to this earth, died on a cross, to redeem me of my sin, that I might be reconciled with the Father through him in the power of the Holy Spirit, is present tense, not was, not will be, but is currently, right now, my personal possessive pronoun. He's my shepherd. My shepherd. And shepherd, the shepherd knows me, he guides me, he protects me, he loves me. Each word has meaning. If your vocation, if your education, if people or ourselves are our shepherds, we will be frustrated. Max Lucado came up with a version of the 23rd Psalm. It goes like this. I am my own shepherd. I'm always in need. I stumble from mall to mall and shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of the shadow of death and fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines, and I am starting to act like my mother. I go down to the weekly staff meeting and I'm surrounded by enemies. I go home and even my goldfish scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol. My Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in self-doubt for the rest of my lonely life. Ouch. Not a very good place to be. If my value is derived from the shepherd's care for me, not from worldly values. We're always in that battle between secular values, worldly values, and biblical values, godly values. If I get my value from social media, shares, likes, all those sorts of things, my profession, my portfolio, how many letters I have after my name, you're in trouble. I have this theory, which I've shared with you, about core identity. Who am I at my core? A lot of times it's what I do. Okay? If my core, and I've known people like this, their core identity was they were in the military. But now they're not in the military, so who am I? Okay? Well, I'm a doctor, but you won't always be practicing medicine with any luck. Praise God. So that if that was my core identity, who am I? Well, who am I now? I did a wedding here yesterday, and there were lots of little kids here. And it just reminded me, if as a mother, your core identity is, I'm a mother, I got news for you. They grow up. and typically they leave home, you know, and you cease to have that kind of relationship you had as they were rising up, becoming who they are now. That relationship changes. Well, who am I now? But if your core identity is child of God, it never changes. It's always the same. It never changes. Regardless of what you used to do, what you do now, all of those things are irrelevant when it comes to core identity, child of God. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd for direction, for provision, health, and protection. We are the sheep, and sadly, sheep are not the smartest animals on the planet. Sheep can be very dumb, and so we are dependent on Jesus to lead, guide, and direct us. He is the good shepherd, as we heard Deacon Karen read in the gospel reading today. I shall not want for what I need. Maybe I'll want for what I want, but I'm not going to want for what I need. There's this thing called prison of want. If you live in a world where more and less kind of come into play all the time, if your joy comes from the next delivery, that package on your porch, right? Anybody ever have a package on their porch? Okay, I have a distinction, I've said it before, but I've never ordered anything online, ever. Now, it's not that my household doesn't order things online. It's just that I've never done it. If the next award or the next promotion, if joy is something you deposit, you drink, you drive, you digest, you are in a prison of want. It's not a good place to be. Because typically when you're living in that place, you're living a life of comparison. And you're looking at other people. You're seeing what they have versus what you don't have. And I can tell you from experience that people who you think have a lot more than you do very often are looking at you saying, I wish I had what they have. They may have material things. Perhaps you have relational things. Perhaps you have people in your life that love you and care about you. What they have, money can buy. What you have, money can't buy. There's a big difference. I lack nothing spiritual, temporal, or emotional if Jesus is my shepherd. I decide not to desire more than the Lord gives me. He wants me to be content. Philippians says, not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And Hebrews says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. We lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller, in A Shepherd Looks at the Psalm 23, writes that sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met. Because they are timid, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. And finally, if sheep are anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads. He never drives. He leads me. Sheep are led. Goats are driven. We are not goats. We are sheep. He cares about our comfort, our care, and our rest. I also found out that sheep will not drink from running water. They will only drink from still water. He restores my soul. When the soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When sinful, he sanctifies it. When weak, he strengthens it. All these things can happen if we will listen to him. He's always trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention through his word. He's trying to get our attention through his spirit. He's trying to get our attention through our family, our friends, situations, circumstances. He's trying to get our attention. And sometimes we listen, but sometimes we say, no, thank you. And as I think of Dr. Phil, he says, how's that working out for you? Because very often it's not working out very well. What is God asking you, telling you to do that you're resisting him? What area of your life needs to be improved, changed, fixed? Listen to him. He leaves me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the way I should go. Do the right thing. Last Tuesday, I was at the city council meeting, and I got there early, and I was the first one to fill out a sheet to speak, and I knew that there was going to be a back and forth about a ceasefire in Israel, in Gaza. And they went through the whole meeting, the agenda, and then they had public comments, and they said, Father Don. So I got up, and I spoke, and I basically said what had happened over that past weekend, and I said a few other things, and I said, for these reasons, I really recommend and hope you do not call for a ceasefire in Gaza. After that, there was a conversation among the city council members that they had basically heard over several meetings back and forth about this issue, and none of them were going to change their mind about this. That they believed that a ceasefire in Gaza would not be to the benefit of Israel's long-term sustainment, health, safety. And I thought that I agreed with that. I had peace about that. I didn't know they were going to do that, but I had peace about that. And then the meeting ended. They did the right thing. Standing up sometimes can be difficult. I was telling a story to a couple of groups earlier this week, I think because I was going to say it today. I did a Bible study at All Saints in Winter Park, Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock. Shocking. And there was an attorney, his name was Skip. And he started coming. He had never been in a Bible study before, but he started showing up. And he'd been coming for a while. And then at one meeting he announced, well, I've done it. Whoa, what'd you do? Well, whenever I would leave the Bible study and pull into my parking space at the law firm, I would cover up my Bible in the passenger seat. Last week, I left it uncovered. If they see it, they see it. Just like that. We went, whoa, good for you. Well, then, sometime later, he comes back. He says, you know where I work? Once a month, the boys go down to the gentlemen's club for a business meeting. I went, oh. He said, yeah, but I announced last week that I can't go anymore. That's not who I am. I'm not going to go. And one of the other attorneys said, oh, I am so glad you said that. I've never wanted to go, but I didn't want to be the first one to say it. And in about 3 months, nobody went. And it started with uncovering his Bible and then saying, I'm not going to go. And that led to some other people, and finally it just went away. But that first little step that seemed funny was a step in the right direction. Stand up for what's right, even if you're the only one standing. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, fear not, I will protect you. Be faithful to me. In life, we have valleys as well as mountaintop experiences. But I can tell you from experience that those valleys develop character. They really do. You look back on those hard, hard times and you say, because of that, this. Because of that, I'm a different person. I see things differently. Because of that, I have a different set of values. Because of that, things are important to me that weren't important to me before, and things that were important to me before aren't as important anymore because of the hard thing that happened. Deep darkness. Not really death, but the shadow of death. Man's wife died, and they were leaving the funeral with his 6-year-old daughter, and a truck came barreling around the corner, and the little girl was startled as the shadow of the truck overcame her. And the father was trying to describe what death was like, and he said, "Sweetie, would you rather be hit by the truck or the shadow of the truck?" And she said, "The shadow." She said, "Your mother was hit by the shadow of the truck. She's alive with Jesus. She wasn't hit by the truck." I thought that was an interesting way to look at it. You've heard me say that all anxiety is due to uncertainty. Question is, are we making the right decisions? Sometimes we make more of this decision-making process than we... There was a private in the Army, and he was on KP, and the sergeant says, "All right, there's a big pile of potatoes." He says, "Put the bad ones in this bin and put the good ones in that bin." And about 2 hours later, the sergeant comes back, and the private's looking at one potato. "There are no potatoes in the bins." He's looking at this potato. And he says, "What's the matter? Don't you like the work?" He goes, "No, it's not that. These decisions are killing me." Sometimes it's not that hard. We've got to make the right decisions. We've got to stand up for what's right. I'm looking at, you know, it seems like I've never seen it this way before. I've never seen it this way before. What is going on? Where are you, God? Well, he's there. I'm looking at, you've seen these Middle East protests at Colombia. Earlier, when these protests broke out, they said, "But it's not that we like October 7th, but we don't like the fact that they've gone into Gaza." Well, now, this week, they've said, "Not one October 7th, not 10 October 7ths, not 100 October 7ths, not 1,000 October 7ths, 10,000 October 7ths, that's what we want." I'm saying that. I'm going, really? Death to Israel, death to America, in America. Really? I hadn't heard that before. This could be a time of like, ooh, what is really going on? God, have you left us to our own devices? No. He's still the shepherd of the sheep. I found out something this morning that was really disturbing. There's a woman who comes, she works for the VA here in town. She said, up to this day, 50 people who survived the October 7th massacre have committed suicide. I did not know that. 50 people. It's worse than we thought. The lingering effects of this. And I think there's a sense of, what's the point? Where is God? I've given up. Don't give up. Don't give up. No matter how bad it looks, God is still there. He's still moving. He's still powerful. And I'm praying for decisions that are made in the Middle East are going to be godly decisions. When those times come, do not be afraid, for the Lord is with you. He says, I will fear no evil. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when you stand for God's word, you will have enemies and you will experience conflict. He says, for thou art with me. They changed from he to you, personal. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was a little stick or so that he would carry in his belt to ward off animals that might attack or harass the sheep. The staff was a stick that he would use to guide the sheep and direct the sheep. It says, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemies. God has the power to feed and protect us. He has the power to sustain us in difficult times. But we've got to stand up and be the church. We've got to be God's people. Several years ago during COVID, most churches just folded and they closed. They weren't operating for a very long time. You know, and praise God, we were able to accommodate people and stay open. I would hope as we go forward and the state tried to say that the church is not essential for whatever reason, that the churches would stand up like they didn't before and say, wait, no, there's another side to this, you know, even though it might invite criticism or a pushback or arrest or whatever it might be. Anoint my head with oil. The kings were anointed with oil. The priests were anointed with oil. Guests were anointed with oil when you went to a house. I always have my oil stock. All the clergy here have an oil stock. I anointed Chuck this morning. Is it any better? A little bit. All right. I'll be out in public and somebody just maybe just led to pray for somebody about something. And you pull out an oil stock and you start to anoint them and they go, I said, no, don't worry. This isn't last rites. This is okay. This is a healing oil, you know. My cup runneth over. I've got to say that my cup runs over. My cup runs over with my family. My cup runs over with you. My cup runs over with this church, with this school. My cup runs over with the place of Christ the King and Grace Christian School in this community. My cup runs over with your faithfulness. Yeah. With all the things that are going wrong, God continues to bless us. And I choose to see those things while not closing my eyes to the other side of the street. I'm not dwelling on them and being overwhelmed by them. And I'm also opening my eyes to what he's doing here in a positive way. And how can we respond to this that will spread this to other places as well? And hopefully deal with some of the things that we see happening. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. H.A. Ironside said, goodness and mercy are two sheepdogs that keep the sheep where they belong. I like that. And we need it. All days, good and bad, feasting and fasting, dark and light. And I know many of us are struggling today about one thing or another in our lives. Health, finances, family, whatever it might be. Follow the shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is an assurance of salvation and eternal life. The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want? If the Lord is your shepherd, he will know you, he will guide you, he will protect you, he will love you. Amen.